Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
How you sound so much more distant today than normal.
Hello down there.
Not that anyone can tell, because that's how the magic of the internet works, but the Not a Thing podcast is going remote again this year. Not as remote as last year when we were in Spain,
Europe.
but
Now you're in the land of oversized rodents and lightsabers, right? Otherwise known as Anaheim.
Anaheim. Yeah. Orange County.
That's not as exciting as Spain
No.
or Norway.
Yeah, we got to work on this location budget for the podcast here. Well,
I think next year we need to record in Hawaii.
oh, that's a good plan. That's a good plan. Sometime soon, I think we may do a remote in Colorado. It's
Nice.
quite possible. All those fans in Colorado, dear adoring fans.
Bring it live.
We may even have a guest or two. We'll see. I don't know. Who knows? Do you know? I don't know.
I don't know. Someone should know
Someone.
eventually.
Okay.
Well, scientists know things.
Oh, do they?
They do. They know how to do segues and discover things in nature.
Yeah, nature. Nature's pretty good, except when it's bad. And it has been bad
It's bad,
recently.
yeah, when it's bad, it's penguins.
Yes. Not a thing, penguins. We've established this on the show many times, I think.
Don't feel like you need to go along with my hate, Alan. I mean, I don't want to make you feel like you need to say something you don't mean. But just know that if you endorse penguins, you're dead to me. This podcast is over.
What fresh not a thingness is there to discuss about penguins?
Well, there are some scientists who discovered the reason that penguins can't fly. Which I was very surprised to hear this was news, because I figured everyone's always known that it's because they're lazy assholes. But the scientists, that's not what they say. This has to do with the way their wings are designed.
Okay.
They're designed for diving and swimming rather than flight.
Yes. Clearly very poor for flight, as they are kind of
Stubby
small looking
bastards.
and not really, not just generally not flight capable. I mean, they don't look right from a flight perspective.
They just don't look right from a living perspective. They're all smug with their little tuxedos.
So they can like swim and stuff pretty well, though. It sounds like they
Yes.
the wings are more attuned to that.
Well, they apparently they've not developed flight wings because there's no natural predators on the ground where they live.
Right.
But there are predators in the ocean, which is why they developed these wings that are better for swimming and diving so they can evade those predators, or as I like to call them, the heroes of the Southern Hemisphere, reducing the penguin population one little tuxedoed bastard at a time.
Oh, penguins.
Not a thing. You know what though? One thing I think penguins would do if they had opposable thumbs and weren't such jerks, if they had social media for penguins, they would probably take selfies.
Could go on a penguin book.
They make duck face look good.
And you know they're probably doing that on Twitter. I mean, I don't know what sound penguins make. I don't think it's a tweet though.
It's
Not
something
exactly.
complainy,
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Kind
Like a
of.
honk.
So are penguins like hipsters? 'Cause they're wearing like out of fashion stuff like all the time.
No, I think of them as more snooty fat cats.
Okay. The 1%.
Yes, that penguins are the 1%.
You're all exclusive in your southern hemisphere living.
Yeah, what do they let anything else live around them? No, it's just ice.
They're palaces of ice. Like a
Bond,
castles?
A Bond villain in bird form.
Yeah.
And they've got that hunchback look, like they're inbred, like some sort of European royalty.
Well, they probably are. I mean, they're only so many. I mean, it's Antarctica's in, like, a big island, right? It's not a whole lot of genetic radiation there, I would think.
No. And, you know, they don't have to walk too far. They're like, hey, you're the closest animal. You're my mate now.
They can't really walk far. Have you seen them walk? They kind of waddle and then fall over.
Useless birds. Why don't you just be a fish? You know what's... Your wings are so great for the ocean. Just be a fish. Or a they're wannabe mammals. They are the sad, sad end to dinosaurs. They say dinosaurs evolved into birds. That was the shittiest dinosaur.
Oh. You were saying selfies? What?
Oh, yeah. You found an article about selfies, didn't you?
Yeah, it was a quick article. I mean, just kind of saying how... like, even the term selfie makes people kind of meh. And I used to be one of those people. I think I've kind of grown out of it a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. I mean, for those that can't tell, selfie is just taking a picture of yourself and then probably posting it on the internet for everyone to see. And
well, I will say, when you take selfies,
mm-hmm.
I see them on my Facebook feed, there you have something new that you're showing. You're like, I changed something in my hair. I got a cool tie. Whatever. Something's different with each one. It's unique.
Mm-hmm.
But there's some people who post the same picture with that same angle, with the same outfit, with the same look on their face.
It's always duck face.
Yeah.
Always.
It's always just look at me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those. I think that is not a thing, for sure. But the article's kind of gist was that doing it is in and of itself isn't bad. I mean, if it's to some degree it's self-expression, to some degree it's even if it's not self-expression, if it's just for yourself and you're just putting it on the internet because that's what the internet happens to be around for and that's how Facebook and Twitter want you to work. Then, you know, it's not necessarily Facebook and Twitter's... I mean, it is, to some degree, Facebook and Twitter's fault. But it's not a bad thing in and of itself. It's just a thing. It's just some people do that.
It is a thing.
So, I don't think I do that. And thank you for validating that the pictures of myself are not... kind of narcissistic or otherwise douchey, because heaven forbid I do that. But
maybe if you had worse fashion sense and style, then maybe it would be annoying. But you know, it's kind of a unique thing.
Thanks. At NiceOut on Twitter. But yeah, I mean I think one of the things in the article that was good was really just the part about if you're putting yourself out there because you want to put yourself out there, that's a fine way to do it. And it's just part of it, right? I mean, the thing about finding your own voice and finding your own kind of way of doing things comes from kind of trying a bunch of things. And maybe posting pictures of yourself is part of that kind of process. I like to think if it's part of a process, it's not bad. I think if it were the end result, like if all you're doing is taking pictures of yourself, that gets probably closer to narcissism than closer to trying to better humanity, shall we say.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yes, yes. So, selfies?
Mix it up.
Yeah, yeah. Selfies okay. But One person that looks great in a selfie.
I was wondering how you're going to bridge this.
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Paul Verhoeven.
So there's a bit of news this week that Paul Verhoeven, a.k.a. director of like a bunch of stuff.
He's legendary director.
Yeah. he is in talks or has been approached or is otherwise attached to doing a new Conan the Barbarian movie, which is going to be, I think, not exactly time or age appropriate for Arnold Schwarzenegger, but Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be in it, and he's apparently not going to play like a 35-year-old or whatever, however old Conan is supposed to be. He's going to play however old he is. And I don't know how old he is. Do you?
He's in his 60s.
Probably.
65.
Aha.
Maybe they'll do like a Kingdom of the Crystal Skull thing where it's going to be him and Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, no, no, no. It should be him and Jason Momoa.
Oh, yeah, that would be good since he was Conan in the other one.
Right. Although he is such a great Khal Drogo.
Yes.
That was just epic.
Game of Thrones is a thing.
The scene from the, I think it's the second to last episode of the first season when he takes all of his, like, armor and weapons off while fending off, like, attacks from that one guy only to just, like, brutally take him out. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my favorite part is when he, like, pulls the knives out of his like belt and holds them out at his sides and just drops them.
Just like, I'm gonna kill you with my bare hands and your own sword.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. I'm not caught up, by the way, so don't jump ahead on me.
Oh, so you haven't seen what? No, it's not spoiler territory yet.
No, not yet, but very soon. So Conan O'Brien.
Go Team Coco.
That's
who it should be. Yeah. It should be Jason Momoa. It should be Conan O'Brien.
Conan O'Brien.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
In a Conan movie.
Wow. That would be... I would at least toss that a little money. We'd kickstart that.
I'd Redbox it.
Anyway, I think a new Conan movie would be great. I'm a huge fan of Conan the Destroyer, specifically. I watched that a lot on KBHK 44 growing up. It's just one of those like Saturday afternoon, nothing else is on kind of shows, and you know, it's got Grace Jones in it. I don't understand. It's good. So I would be down with that kind of movie because Paul Verhoeven's movies tend to have
ridiculous,
like, well, yes, okay. So A, ridiculous violence, B, just absolute and unrelentless kind of satire of how like society is. Like I think RoboCop is just great for that. I mean, that is a movie that I watch and I think they would never make that today. Never. Like the way that
well, they are remaking RoboCop right now. Oh. It's in production.
Oh man, you destroyed my life.
They could not possibly. No, it's they're making it right now. Well, it's being made as we speak.
Go see RoboCop before they remake it. But
Starship Troopers.
In RoboCop, playing RoboCop is Peter Weller, who also makes an appearance in another movie that is that came out this last week.
I would say the movie that came out this week.
I would think so. And so we are definitely entering spoiler territory right now because I really can't even think about Star Trek Into Darkness without spoiling it. I mean, even just thinking about the movie, people should not stand near me because I'm radiating spoilers.
And, you know, it's been out for not even a week yet, but you should see it.
Yeah.
It should be seen already.
Yeah. In fact, I'm willing to see it again. I'm probably going to see it. Maybe not in IMAX. I could maybe see seeing it in 3D, although even that I don't know if was necessary.
Well, I mean, it hasn't even been out a week, and I've already seen it twice.
Did you see it in 3D both times? Or
I saw it in 3D both times.
Okay.
Neither one I would have chosen to see it in 3D, but that was the situation I was in.
Play the cards you're dealt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, when it's Star Trek is your card, that's not a bad hand.
No, not at all. So I saw it in IMAX 3D, which I didn't think was necessary. The IMAX is good. I mean, the scenes when you can tell it's IMAX. The problem is, because the whole movie's not shot in IMAX, at least I was kind of continually looking at the top and bottom of the screens to see, is this IMAX? How about this? Not this scene. Oh, this scene is. Oh, wait, now it's not. So,
what were some of the scenes they did shoot in IMAX?
Almost all the exterior shots of Starfleet or San Francisco. There were a few shots, like in the battle sequences, and
I want to say
the entire front piece of the movie before the title was.
Okay.
So.
Those are the places you'd want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't spoiled anything yet. Not yet. No. So is it
Khan!
Is it time? Right. So I don't know where to start. I have so many things to say about this movie.
Okay, well, let's just start with, what did you think in general?
I'm disappointed. I liked it a lot. I mean, it's Star Trek. You gotta like Star Trek. You gotta like J.J. Abrams' like incarnation of how lens flary it could be. And I think the style is really good. I think a lot of the pacing is better. It's a little more, maybe, I mean, it's a lot more of an action movie than it is kind of a more Star Trek-y movie. But I think I'm fine with that because of the way it's being handled. The thing I didn't like was, I'm torn because I did like kind of where it was going after the first movie, right? The first movie was, we're going to reboot the timeline. We're going to reboot everything. It's going to be a whole new thing. And we're changing it up enough that it is different. I mean, these relationships are different. The reasoning between these things are different. Things are happening in a completely different way. Different. And then Star Trek Into Darkness is pretty much Space Seed and Wrath of Khan kind of smushed together with a prettier gloss. And I think that they should have gone more boldly, to coin a phrase.
Ouch.
And done something much more interesting. I mean, a lot of the press was saying, like, oh no, it's not Khan. It's not. And all of this stuff with the, like, fingers on the glass and kind of looking like the scene from the end of Wrath of mm-hmm. Khan. That's not. No, we're just messing around. Look, his name is John Harrison. He's a completely different guy. Completely different guy. No, Khan. Sorry. And I could kind of see it coming, right? When he kicks ass on everybody. But,
well, I saw it coming from the moment he gave that kid his blood. It was like, oh, well, yeah, he's Khan.
So
like, who has super blood? Right. Who's a super person in Star Trek? Yes. It's Khan.
So I don't know. I feel like from a like ambitious standpoint, it could have been a lot further. And then from even if they were doing it as a wink to Star Trek II and everything, I still feel like it should have been like even bigger and less of a self-referential movie. I mean, it's just like the entire last 30 minutes maybe are just one big, did you see Wrath of Khan? Because we're going to just do that. Like, almost, word for word. Like,
well, I will say that if they were going to do Khan, which you almost kind of knew they were, because movies are a money-making business, and what are you going to do to make money with your new franchise, or rebirth of the franchise? Do the only successful thing from the previous version. You know that's how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
If they were going to do Khan, I think this was the best way it could have been done.
So, the more I think about it, the more plot holes I find in my head.
Wait, plot holes in a movie? What?
In a sci-fi movie?
It's a movie! It's Star Trek!
It's true. I mean, nitpicker's delight, right? I mean, that's what Star Trek is for, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, I really liked the movie. I think I liked the first movie more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the one thing it does have going in its favor is all my complaints, if you boil it down, they're all nitpicks.
Okay.
There's not a major thing that I have a problem with in the movie, aside from one moment.
Oh.
Which was when Spock yelled Khan. I physically responded to it. Like, I grimaced when that scene happened. It was not a voluntary response. It was just like, oh, no. Oh, what do you know?
Yeah. And so, okay, why are you grimacing? Because I know why I was not happy with it.
Because that's Shatner. That's not... You haven't earned it. Just like when, I mean, I like the flip that it's Kirk that gives himself up and he dies.
Okay.
But he was dead for like 5 minutes. We've seen him on screen in two movies for maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours at that point.
Sure.
I mean, it did not have the weight of the scene in Wrath of Khan.
Yeah. And so it the thing...
Like
Of all the like captains to imitate, they picked Shatner.
Hey, Shatner was great.
He was. But Shatner was Shatner, and Chris Pine, I think, needs to be...
He's not Shatner.
He needs to be his own captain. He needs to not, like, just coast on that. And I think Chris Pine did a better job in this than he did in the first Star Trek. In there's more stuff to deal with. He's not just like this, you know.
Well, this one was a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This was a story about him and Spock.
So here's my thing. That's the reason why I don't think that Spock should have yelled Khan. Because the relationship between Kirk and Spock in the first movie, it's just... It's not even there. I mean, they just hate each other for like almost the entire movie. And then we're supposed to believe that in the intervening time, they've kind of grown close to one another such that, you know, Kirk is going to save his life, first of all.
Well, Kirk did mind meld with original Spock in the first movie. So yeah. I think that kind of kickstarted their relationship. He's got all that information as far as the emotional part of it.
Okay, he does.
He does. Spock doesn't.
Right.
But this is also a different, like, a more emotional Spock because he's, you know, seen his planet destroyed.
Sure.
I think that was one thing I did like about the movie was that there were elements of how this timeline is different and how people react in it based on the changes that were made in the previous movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it made sense to me that there'd be an element of Starfleet that was very militaristic because in the last movie, Starfleet got jacked up.
So I would have to say that Starfleet is still pretty jacked up.
Right.
I mean, a starship crashes into San Francisco, pretty much takes out what looks like
Alcatraz,
the district where the the Warriors Stadium's going to go. And then, and like it upends and takes out like a building, and oh yeah, it was probably being flown by this guy who had this vendetta against Starfleet because they were using him to make weapons of mass destruction. Oh, I mean, that's okay a year later. We're okay with making ships just for exploration again. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a couple leaps. Right. In there.
But so, there were a couple elements. I mean, there's a lot of Wrath of Khan in this movie.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, a bit of Space Seed. Mm-hmm. But there's also a couple, because I watched Search for Spock between the two viewings.
Okay.
Like, I watched Wrath of Khan before I went and saw it, because I watched that pretty regularly.
That's a great movie.
It's just part of my rotation.
Yep.
But I watched Search for Spock, and there were elements of that that they got into this movie.
Sure. Right, all the Carol Marcus kind of...
Well, no, well, that was in Wrath of Khan, but I mean, I'm talking about Search for Spock. Like, the ship in the beginning of Search for Spock, they'd steal the Enterprise to go back to Genesis to go pick up Spock's body so they can take it back to Vulcan.
Okay.
And they've rigged the Enterprise to be pretty much automated so they can run it with like five people, which is what they did with the new starship.
Okay.
It was an automated ship.
Sure.
And then the ship that was chasing them in that beginning was the Excelsior, which had a new special experimental transwarp drive that could go faster. And that's exactly what they had in this ship.
Yeah. And it was just kind of like a beefier looking, like if you took the Enterprise and then over designed it, that's what it looked like.
Well, it was better in all ways. It was better at everything. It was the Khan of starships.
I'm okay with Star Trek Into Darkness. I'm probably going to see it again. I just have one nitpick that I don't think I can get over. And
okay.
The one that I have, and feel free to call me on this, is that they you know, take one of the guys out of suspended animation, and it's Khan, right?
Right.
And they're like, oh, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. He has... you know, crazy strength and everything else. So does the rest of his crew not have crazy strength and all that kind of stuff? Because that was the thing where they were like, okay, we have to keep Khan alive and take his blood.
Yeah.
You couldn't have just taken his blood from any of the other 71 guys that are lying right around in the sick bay?
I did have that same thought. But they didn't know for sure. I mean, what if they kill him, and then it turns out, oh wait, these are just some dudes in tubes. then Kirk stays dead.
Okay.
And then you have actually maybe a more interesting third movie. But
so I'm disappointed. I'm gonna pour my 40 out for Commander Pike or Admiral Pike on that one. That was not cool.
Yeah, Bruce Greenwood was good. He was good as Pike.
Yeah, especially since that means that there won't be Pike in the chair with the lights.
Right. I really don't think they were going to do that, but...
Not in this brave new world that is the J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
No. Which is an action comedy. An action-packed bromantic comedy.
Yeah. I think Simon Pegg stole every single scene he was in.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone was great in it. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch was a great villain. He should be in everything.
Yeah. But and I guess technically opinion, he's not so. Dead, so there could be...
No, there could still be wrath. He could still wrath upon them. So they could still bring him over to the Star Wars movies.
So, how did you think of... What did you think of the Klingons?
I liked them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the facial piercings were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, the piercings in the ridges?
I liked the subtitling and the way that that scene was shot when they're having that conversation, because it was in the same style as the older movies.
Oh yeah. Like the first movie. Yeah, when and to some degree, I guess. No, not even Search for Spock. I think it was really just the first movie when they first show the Klingons in the opening reel when V'ger like is just plowing through space. And then like electric storms up the Klingon ship. It's that kind of style that the subtitles were coming in on.
Yeah. And as we have know through watching Star Trek: The Next Generation, Klingons get their asses kicked like Worf every episode. He didn't get badass till he got on Deep Space Nine. Which there's another Deep Space Nine referenced in there with Section 31, which I thought was a really cool pull.
And they had the NX-1, the Enterprise
The little model.
from the Enterprise like show with, Captain Archer, Scott Bakula. That was one of the ships on the Admiral's desk.
Yes.
So that was a nice little thing. So Enterprise is canon even in this
Well, they'd
even in
already
this universe.
referenced Archer in the first movie.
Right.
Although I don't acknowledge that show, personally.
It's a little rough. The theme song is really the thing that like kind of hurts the
It'll be
most.
a long time before I accept that show.
Oh, good stuff. But I'm still okay with Star Trek. I really think though that third movie, I mean they can't do Search for Spock again. I mean Kirk's already alive, so they can't they
Well,
didn't
it's
sh
actually kind of good that they did it that way because that movie's kind of garbage. Having rewatched it, it's like this is an episode of Star Trek
It
that
is. It was, and it has
it's the quantum of solace of Star Trek.
it's the I mean with guest starring Christopher Lloyd.
Yes.
But I like Star Trek 3, but only because that was one of the most like Klingon heavy movies. There was a
I don't know,
lot of Klingon in that.
six is Klingon heavy.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
They spend time on a Klingon in a Klingon prison.
Rurupente.
Yes.
But
I
okay, so
think
the
that might be it's really tough to choose between that one and Wrath of Khan for me, because I really like Star Trek VI.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. But they're not gonna do three. They're not gonna do Search for Spock.
They're not they don't they're not gonna save the whales. There is no way.
Right. Star Trek 5, are they gonna go try and find God at
Trying
the
to find God, yeah.
center of the universe?
Well, no, I don't think they're gonna remake any of the other movies.
Okay. So I'm
Because you know who knows about those other movies?
hmm.
Star Trek fans. You know who knows about any other Star Trek movies that's not a Star Trek fan? Nobody. The barely they'll know what Wrath of Khan is. They won't have seen it. They'll have heard of it. So that, they could get some traction out of that. But at this point, I think they'd have to start either coming up with their own ideas or mining the TV show, since it takes place during their 5-year mission.
I did like the mud reference for the
Yes, that was good. I'm hoping for Gary Mitchell.
So I
I'd be
was
fine with that.
hoping that that was the one that they were gonna do
Yeah, well, so was I.
for this Trek because I'm somewhat okay with them taking the episodes because the episodes are relatively short. I mean, especially the way that J.J. Abrams, directs them, they're gonna be a lot more taut about how they shoot stuff. Although some of the sequences, it's really kind of stop start for me. It's like whole lot of battle. Oh wait, everything's kind of disabled. We're gonna walk around a little bit.
Well, he may not even be directing the next movie.
That's a good point.
Because he's got his hands full with another universe. And I don't want to wait 4 years or 5 years or whatever for another Star Trek.
That's true. I had not put it together that the last Star Trek was 4 years ago. Golly.
And that was just so we could make Super 8, which I would rather have made this sooner. But
should I see Super 8?
Sure.
Okay.
Why not?
Okay, I'll put it in the old list.
No rush.
Well, we got Arrested Development coming back on Sunday, so, you know.
Yes.
Got other stuff.
And Fast 6 on D-Box this weekend.
God. So everyone else can, like, turn off the podcast at this point. I have to arrange if you're coming down for D-Box or not.
We actually have a D-Box in Petaluma.
Oh, my God. Okay, good. Good.
So I will probably not be driving.
Okay, yeah, there's a showing on Monday that I'm thinking of going to. So, assuming I can get tickets.
Oh, well, maybe I might have to go to that, too. I'm going to be in Oakland on Monday. Anyways, that's not podcast material. I think we've covered Star Trek thoroughly enough. I'd love to see some comments on the website with other people's thoughts on the movie.
Or if you just want to jump on, be a guest. Yeah. Let's just do it.
Yeah, hit us up. Come on. We can talk about Star Trek for days. So, you know, if we have to devote the next 4 or 5 episodes to it, I'm sure we can make that happen.
So be it, right? Give the internet what it demands.
And the internet demands Star Trek. Although apparently not the box office, because it hasn't done as well as the first movie so far.
Well, did it come out on top this week, you know?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
But it made less than the first one did in its first weekend.
Right, right.
Which is still more than pretty much every other Star Trek movie combined. I'm sure this has already outgrossed all of the Next Gen movies.
Oh, come on, even First Contact was pretty good.
Well, no, I like First Contact. I'm just saying, as a financial success, I'm not sure that it was.
That's true. Right. Right, right, right. Oh, now I just want to talk about Star Trek all day.
Maybe we'll have to do another. We'll find as many Trekkies as we can, and we'll do some sort of super extended cut discussion of Star Trek in general.
I know we have fans out there that would love to talk about this with us, so let us know. NotAthingPodcast.com, NotAthingCast on Twitter, NotAthingPodcast in Facebook. We have a Google Plus account, but I never post into it.
It exists allegedly.
Right.
All right, well, I guess until next time, let's boldly go.
Where no one has gone before.
Or podcast.
Okay. Good enough.
Beam me up.